Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Life Coach Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, November the 8th, 2019. It's 4 p.m. in New York, and that's 1 p.m. Los Angeles time, 9 p.m. in London, 6 a.m. in Tokyo, and 8 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. But wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm looking at the smiling face of my partner here, Linda Armstrong, who's all bundled up. You're not normally bundled up, but
well,
that's the time of year,
up.
Huh?
It's cold.
Yeah, we got a chilly spell going on here in the northeastern part of the U.S. But I hope things are well for you.
Yep, things are going well, besides being cold.
Yeah, well, besides that. That kind of goes without saying.
Most of the leaves are down on the trees. I mean, we're really getting into that winter.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's usually the sign that Thanksgiving is coming. That's the way I kind of measure it all. And we're just a couple of weeks away from that. And, here in the U.S., that's a pretty big deal, the Thanksgiving holiday. Different countries, some countries have their own Thanksgivings, too, at different times of the year. But here in the U.S., ours is going to be in about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks? 3 weeks, I guess it is.
Maybe 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks. So, good stuff. So, I don't really have a topic in mind, and we both kind of logged on here late, but I figure we can just do another wing it session.
Yeah, that's and, wing
it. By the way, I sent you a note that you responded to. I asked you about what card you use, and you made a recommendation, and I did get those, so thank you very much for the recommendation.
That
was really great.
Have you been playing with them?
I haven't, because they're actually a gift for Louise, so don't tell anybody, even though I'm announcing it to the world. Everybody, please keep it quiet. This is for Louise. But they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful cards.
They really are.
The person who did the art, did she do her own artwork, or did she have somebody do it? But they're gorgeous.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I gave you a couple of recommendations. I don't know which one
you... I can't remember what her name is. The one you said that is your favorite. Sonia, is that her name?
Sonia Choquette.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Energy Oracle deck is kind of my favorite, though. That's someone else.
Oh, it is.
Ann Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah. I like them all. It depends. I go through different. Like today, I pulled out one I haven't used in a while.
Intuitive life coaching.
So we'll go there. And the Spirit Animal deck, and of course the Energy Oracle. Yeah.
Jeffrey always has a good comment to start things off. He says, I love Thanksgiving. It is a chance to openly show appreciation for all of the wonderful things in life. And boy, is that absolutely true. It really is great for that.
Yeah.
Totally true.
Yeah, and you know what? You just got to do that. It's just that's the only way you're going to stay in that high vibration, to actually truly, really feel the appreciation and gratitude for the stuff that you do have, for the stuff that is around you. Instead of looking at the things you think are wrong with the world or wrong with your life. You know, if we're really good at that one. Yeah, why is it so easy to do that? Let's make it easy to be the other side of that.
Well, exactly right. And the reason why it's so easy is because we spend so much time on it. We just need to spend more time on the other, so that becomes the easy one.
Right. Well, because we've been so conditioned to.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Our power had been stripped away bit by bit over centuries, you know?
Well, plus we didn't help. We said, let's do it. Let's keep stripping our power away.
Yeah, but if you're going to be killed if you didn't conform, you know, you're like, all right, I want to live, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
This stuff that we learn is good. It makes a lot of sense. It gives us a lot of power. But it also has a lot of responsibility, and that responsibility can be pretty overwhelming depending on what our circumstances are. So
yeah, but you know what? I think it's turning around. It just is, because we're just not going to play that game anymore. It's like I think it's like collectively, whether you know it or not, we're tired of that game. Like why? Why do we have to struggle?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't born struggling. I was born this infant who knew it would get its food, it would get its clothes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything was perfect. Until, you know, you start absorbing the other people's energy in your environment. That's where all this subconscious programming originates from. Like when we're really young kids, we're just in that theta brain with like little sponges taking on everything.
Right.
And absorbing other people's energy. Like even right from the womb. Like, you know, the mom's going through something, that baby's absorbing it.
That's true.
So, that's true. Anyway, so this is interesting. I pulled Journey, but upside down.
Inverted, okay.
Let's see what that's about. It could be our topic for today.
Well, I think it already is. We were just talking about life's journey, so how appropriate you draw a card about a journey.
Yeah. Okay. So what is it? Number two. I like the number two. I used to consider it my lucky number. Now I like all numbers. It's like...
Oh, Jeffrey has another message he wants me to share before you do the card. He says, okay. Seriously, I'm in a high energy, good mood right now, and I'm sharing it with everyone listening. So everyone listening, right. Jeffrey is sharing his high level energy with you. So
let's soak it up.
Soak it up.
Be good for that. All right. So reverse this journey card. So I'll show you the upright picture if anybody wants to see. All right.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Just this person on a journey.
Yeah.
There's different roads you could take there on the sign, I suppose, right?
Yeah. Very artistic.
The light shining down.
I think that's one of the things I like about the card decks you have. The artists are really, really great.
Yeah. They really tell a story just in that.
Just from the picture, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
So it says, in a reverse position, you may desire to move or just get away for a while. But the reverse of this card could indicate a delay or even a cancellation. Something could be standing in your way, or perhaps lines of communication may get crossed. Don't let the potential changes upset you. Refocus your energy and be flexible as needed. Remember, you can always create new adventures, even in your present location or situation. So there's an affirmation that comes with it, and it says, I'm attracting wonderful new adventures to me. My life is a blessing, taking me to new places inside and out. So there's that gratitude right there for whatever the journey might be.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we think, I don't like this journey. This is not what I signed up for. But of course you did, because you create everything in your reality.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that we attract all this stuff. And if there's something about the journey that we're not liking, it's incumbent upon us to make the shift, to decide we're going to refocus our attention where we actually do want it to be in order to get the change to happen.
Yeah. And you know what? And you just ask for help from spirit and you allow that energy to flow, because we want to be in that. I mean, it's so easy to say the words, but it's true. When you let yourself just go with the flow and be like, all right, I'm not going to fight this. Because the more you fight it, the longer it prolongs, because you're holding that energy, which doesn't feel good, right? Of this butting heads with the desire, say, or blaming not getting somewhere on someone else outside of you, right? So right there, you're giving your power away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By deciding that it's that person's fault that I'm not there where I'm supposed to be.
That's actually a really useful clue in my experience. When I can notice that I am finding someone at fault, that's like a red flag that says, whoops, what did I just do there?
Yeah.
I just put myself on a path of throwing my energy away and saying whatever's happening to me is outside of my control, in the hands of this other person. Oh, well, reverse that one, turn around, take that back.
Because what's more empowering, to give that away to someone else or to do it yourself? And it's like that with anything. I mean, you might think, oh, if only this happened, or this person did this, or something. Again, looking outside of yourself for the solution, instead of being like, well, you know what? No, I'm a creator. I can do this. Why do I keep giving my power away? Because it's just wasting time by looking to things outside of you to make the difference.
The interesting thing that you mentioned there, too, because you talked about how you look outside of yourself for something else to happen. But the interesting thing is, we can also look within ourselves for that same thing to happen. Basically do the imagination.
But it's two different energies.
They are two different energies. Yeah.
That's the difference right there.
Yeah.
So things can show up on the outside as long as it was created from within.
Right.
From having that open, receptive flow. So where, because the universe wants to give us. Mm-hmm. Oh, in fact, I'm listening to this book, Liz Gracia from the Mind, Body, Spirit Network told me about it. Let me get the name up for you. And it's kind of like Conversations with God, but
really?
It's Conversations with Money.
Oh.
This woman, let me, I won't let it play. There we go. Let's see if the camera can pick it up without all that distortion.
It's kind of rough.
Okay. It says, love money, money loves you.
Mm.
Okay. And it's by Sarah McCrum.
Okay.
I didn't see the title there.
Love Money and Money Loves You. Yeah, the title in itself, it's almost like a challenge before you've read the book if you're dealing with money issues.
She was like just doing some automatic writing, all this stuff sort of coming to her, just like conversations with God. Mm-hmm. And it's money saying, money speaking for itself, the energy of money.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, where am I? I think I'm only halfway through the book. I don't know, more than that. I have 3 hours left. It's an interesting book because in it, it's like money saying, all you have to do is ask and we'll send you what you want. But you got to be clear on your asking. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times we get all confused because we start to get in our head and try and figure out things. And we add so much stuff into the mix of the request where the request isn't clear. And they point out, and I think most people know this by now, especially when it's like, I want this. You know, you're going to keep wanting, you know, mm-hmm. you want it. Okay. Right.
Very annoying.
Yeah. So it's about being clear, not limiting yourself. Cause the message over and over again is that there's an abundance of money. People think there's a limited amount of money. Right. And some people want to hold on to their money because they think there's only so much to go around. And that, even if they have quite a bit, they're still limiting themselves by thinking or having to hide it so other people don't know they have it. Like, there's so many things that come up in this book that I find to be a lot of it, you know, you kind of maybe know or have heard in some way before. But then there's these little twists on things, and it's like, I like that. Okay, that's a new perspective. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Why did I bring that up? Because it's just like if we would just allow the flow, it would all just be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be easy. It doesn't seem to be easy.
Well,
but it ought to be easy because our true nature is that it's just there for us.
It's like you said. I mean, if we're dealing with the realities of the world, it's hard to hold that vibration because we have all the world telling us, well, no, you can go right ahead and do that all you want to, but I'm going to throw all this crap at you. And that includes not having enough money to do stuff like, you know, paying your rent and all that kind of thing. And so we start saying, oh, geez, I don't have enough money to pay my rent. And all of a sudden, we just changed the story. We just made it hard for ourselves.
But still, it's still giving it away, it's like letting that outside tell you what is.
Yes.
But it's not that for everyone. Like, I was listening to Robert Kiyosaki recently. And you know him, Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he was talking about how he loves money, you know, and he doesn't pay any taxes because he makes so much money off of debt. So he gets the banks to put up $5 million against his million for like an apartment complex, and everybody pays their rent, and then it pays the mortgage. So like, he's like, I just keep making money because I figured out how money works, which we're not taught in school. Mm. And even this book is talking about that. You're not taught anything about money, but you're told to go out there and earn a living and work hard for your money. And so that's what we do. We work hard for our money, right? Whereas but not everybody, right? Not everybody. Because why is it so easy for Robert Kiyosaki? He didn't always have money, but he has it now.
Mm-hmm. But because he had a better dialogue with his internal self about money.
Well, he calls it, that's why he came up with his rich dad and his poor dad, because I don't remember, but he referred to it a little bit. I think his own dad was poor. You know, he worked really hard just to get by, but it was maybe a friend's dad who got the I could be wrong about this because I don't think I read the book, but I know about it, or it's so long ago I don't remember. Mm-hmm. He started learning about money based on how somebody else was having money. And so he would always decide from very young, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich. He never let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rich. I'm not. No. And he wanted to learn how to make money. You know, and like if his teachers, if he would ask a question because he was very inquisitive and he would look at all the information, he would formulate what he perceived out of the data. And if he questioned, like one time he said, the teacher asked a question, and the question could have had like 3 or 4 answers because there were 3 or 4 different opportunities of what actually happened in history with whatever this question was.
Right.
And the teacher's expecting just one particular question, answer. So he got in trouble for saying, well, which one?
Which one?
And she thought he was being a wise guy because she didn't know. There were other options, right? Yeah. So, but he never let it put him down. Mm-hmm. He always knew that. He always held on to, but why? There's a lot of money out there. I'm just going to make it all. You know what I mean?
It's an interesting point that you were making, too, about how Kiyosaki views debt, because for him, debt is a way to leverage making more money for himself. And it really does demonstrate the importance of that mindset. I had been in the reverse side. A lot of people have been in this reverse side.
He's talking about good debt.
Good debt. And I'm
not like credit card debt.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Because I've been on the reverse side of it. And up until about, when was it? About 5 years ago, we were in a really, Louise and I were in a terrible financial spiral going downward. And it took us quite some time to turn it around, but we did finally turn it around. But as a result of that, we had piled up a whole ton of credit card personal debt. And to the point where we could barely breathe. I mean, most of our money was going out to pay, to finance the debt. And it was frustrating the heck out of me. I mean, I was trying really hard to make the kind of changes that we talked about here, that Kiyosaki talks about in terms of changing your mindset. And I'd been making some progress, and sure enough, improvements have been happening. But I ended up with a result just recently that I didn't expect. You'll remember that my mom left a bequest that was a big chunk of cash. I took that chunk of cash, and I paid off a whole bunch of debt. Got a whole bunch of debt off the table. My wife's debt, my own debt. It's not all paid off, but a large, large chunk of it is paid off. And I ended up with a result I did not expect. We actually had, believe it or not, we had five different credit cards we were closing off with this thing. And I paid off the first one, and I didn't feel anything. I said, this isn't any very good. So I continued with the process, paying the others off. Actually, a couple of them haven't been processed yet, but they're in the steps toward that direction. And as I got to the point where I finally realized I was down to a much smaller final amount of debt, not final, but my latest amount, shall we say, it was a greatly reduced amount, I was finally able to say to myself, wow, all that other debt is gone. And it was like a weight got taken off of my shoulder, a weight that I didn't know was there. I didn't realize it was there.
You're so used to it, right?
It was so familiar, so completely familiar that I couldn't even distinguish it. And now I understand a whole lot better why it is that when people are dealing with a debt situation, they can't seem to get anywhere else but focused on the debt rather than on getting wealthier, on positive cash flow or whatever the alternative is that they're trying to get to. It's because that weight is holding them down and they don't even know it's holding them down, but they can feel it in general.
Yeah.
You know? And boy, was that an eye-opener to realize just how big of a role that plays. I have not yet figured out how could I have maybe sped the whole process up. I haven't quite figured that part out yet. Well, but I feel like I'm on that path of figuring that out so I can explain it to others.
Well, I think part of that is that it's so easy to go into that mind of the dread of not being able to pay it off as quick as you'd like to. And so if you think about those thoughts, it really, it's a heavy energy, you know, it's closing the door on that relief feeling. But a nice thing for you is you were able to do that. So then it was allowed to come in.
Yes.
You could actually feel it because you didn't go to those thoughts of I'll never pay this off, because here it was, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Now my thought is, wow, how quickly is the rest are going to get paid off? It's the whole energy has shifted because I've had this progress to help me.
You'll probably pay the rest of it off like pretty fast and easy.
I would suspect within the next 12 months easily. Yeah.
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 So what I'd like to add to that is we could shift from the one energy to the other, even if you didn't have that chunk of money to put it down on it.
And that's the part I'm trying to figure out. How do I explain that? I don't know how to explain that yet.
Well, I think it gets maybe back to Neville's teaching, right? You got to feel it. Mm-hmm. Feel it. Just imagine it. Feel it. Make a loop.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening. I made myself a recording of the, isn't it so wonderful? What was it? Wonderful. I listen to it every night. I can't remember.
Oh, it wonderful? Something marvelous wonderful, is happening for me now.
Something marvelous is happening for me now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm playing that when I'm going to sleep, and I've had some cool little things kind of showing up.
Isn't it great? I love that one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cindy and I both had good results of that one, so I'm glad to hear you're getting them too.
Yeah, because you know I was going to make up another recording of a bunch. I'm like, that's too much stuff.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why she did that, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. So when you told me that, it was like the bells went off. I'm like, oh. Going for that. But you know what I want to share? This is interesting. So, you know, there's something like a healing modality called Access Consciousness. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Access bars.
The phrase is familiar, but I can't associate it with anything.
So I've known of it. I didn't know anything about it, but I've heard of it. It's come across my radar before. But even like Theta Healing, it would come across my radar. And then one day I'm like, ooh, I got to do that. Like something just clicks and I have to go and do it.
Right.
So now I'm going to be doing the Access bars, and then I want to get into the Access Consciousness. So it's all this kind of stuff, right? There's one interesting process that I got from just like an online course that I found from, what's his website? Dane Heer. He's one of the founders of Access Consciousness. So you can go to his website. I have to look it up. I don't have it here right this minute.
That's okay.
Okay. Dr. Dane Heer, H-E-E-R. His name's D-A-I-N. So he has some courses up on his website that are very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm doing this one on how to function with money. Because I could listen to that thing with Kiyosaki. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're just not really taught this other perspective of money.
Oh, definitely not.
Like, why aren't kids being taught that? Why? Because, you know, it's all designed to keep us small, right? So there's a process that he has here. And it's like if something shows up in your reality and you realize you have a judgment about it. So you just do this. I did this last night. It was amazing. I couldn't even sleep because I had so much energy come in.
Oh, wow.
And it took me forever to fall. I think I got like 3 or 4 hours of sleep last night.
Wow.
I could not fall asleep. I was playing games on my phone because usually that makes me tired. I mean, I just couldn't. I was meditating. I was doing embodiments for myself. I'm like, nothing's working.
All the usual tricks. Yeah, right.
Because I blew out a lot of energy on some stuff. But anyway, this is the tool. You say, interesting point of view. I have that point of view that money's hard to come by. Interesting point of view. I have that point of view that money's hard to come by. And you keep saying it till you feel something shift.
Ah.
So I was taking a bunch of money beliefs that I'm like, okay, so what things have I heard before? Like, what are things that I think I might have cleared, but maybe I didn't clear? Like, what things are there, right? There's never enough money, right? That costs too much. It's not easy to grow my business or whatever it could be for you, you know? I have to make my money stretch. So whatever. I wrote a whole bunch down. And I started doing that. Interesting point of view. I have that point of view, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
And I would just say that same phrase over and over until you just feel like, in fact, I would feel like I would kind of be giggling as I'm saying. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm done with that one. Okay, let me find another one. And then I would do interesting point of view. I have that point of view. And you're just acknowledging it, right? Interesting point of view. I have that point of view.
Well, not only are you acknowledging it, you're acknowledging it in a really low energy way. So you're not feeding it. You're just saying, I acknowledge it so I can let go of it.
Energy just wants to be seen in order to be released. I mean, I know that about all my other modalities. Like once you look at it, it can go. Even with gait, when something shows up, all of a sudden you got this headache and you're like, and I'll just guide people, just take a look at it, welcome it, let it know, thank you for the release you're giving me, and then gone, right? So I noticed, you know, I'm doing this, I'm looking around, and it's like as if my vision opened up. Like everything got really clear, like crystal clear. And I'm like, and in fact, at one point I'm like, God, my eyes are a little cloudy. You know, like when you're really tired or something and you have that filmy looking through your eyes, like if you're binge watching something all night long and you just want to stay up for one more show and you can't. So I'm like, that's weird. My vision. And then it just started getting clearer and clearer as I was doing these and everything was so clear. I'm like, all right. So that's how I experienced energy. You can experience it any way you want. But for me, that's what I was noticing. And I was noticing that I knew when I was done saying it because I felt like I don't need to say that one anymore. Let me move on to another one.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's very – I want to just give that tip because I found that – I mean, I did this for like 15 minutes. And then I was just so full of energy, I could not fall asleep.
You were answering a question that Jeffrey had raised without realizing that you were answering his question.
Oh.
Because the question he asked is, so what do we do to learn to create our wealth? He says, I've been using what I've learned in your Neville Goddard class, but you just gave a perfect lesson on what you can do to do exactly that.
And I just learned this. I learned this yesterday.
That's cool.
I learned it. I tried it. I'm like, wow, it works. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play with that a little bit more, and whatever it is comes up. So, in fact, and my husband and my son, we always do this kind of stuff together. We stopped on the way home from the karate school last night at like a gas station to get some drinks or something, and someone parked instead of parking into the parking space. They parked like across three this way.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no other cars around, right? But I felt myself have a judgment, like, why do they have to go park like that?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I caught it, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what difference does it make? There's nobody else here. But I realized I had the judgment. I'm like, interesting point of view. I have that point of view.
Ah.
I didn't park across three spaces like that because it's inconsiderate or whatever it was, right?
Right.
And my husband and my son were in the car, and we were just kind of laughing about it, doing the statements, and just blew that energy out.
That's cool.
Because really, who is that person hurting? Nobody.
Right.
They probably wouldn't have done it if there were a lot of cars around. Maybe they're just stopping for 2 seconds because somebody had to run in. Who knows what? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't even matter, right?
It doesn't even matter.
Because it's not even my world. Like, why would I have to have a judgment about that person's parking abilities?
So there's a really cool phrase to add to our lexicon of phrases then. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting point of view.
I have that point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you see yourself judging something, interesting mm-hmm. point of view, I have that point of view.
Yeah, because there's no sting in that. That's very good.
And if it catches your attention, then just clear it, because you're like, I probably do have that point of view. Okay, let me clear it.
Yeah.
Like, why did that trigger me in any way? Okay, let's do a clearing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Good stuff. I like that. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
Or maybe a good one to do, because it just popped in my head, because it could be a common one for people. You know, when you see, actually, yeah, because I definitely had this one. I don't know if I still do it, because I think I'm pretty good at dropping judgment now. So, but they do show up now and then. But I do remember. Yeah, it's very judgmental. So, you know, I teach karate, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have karate school. And some of the kids that come only ever come with the nanny.
Oh.
And I've seen before too, where, you know, maybe the dad would come in, the whole time his head's in the paper, not even looking at the kid, right?
Yeah.
And the kid's on the mat, like
doing his stuff,
and trying to get the dad's attention, but right. The dad's in the paper.
Yeah.
So that's one example.
Yeah.
There's so many. I mean, I've witnessed a lot of things like that,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so I have judgment about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because it's not my world. It's not the way I would be.
But I think most of us would, actually. That would be a very common one. You're right. That's one a lot of people would have.
Yeah. And you don't realize that's a heavy energy.
It is. Right?
So, you know, we don't know what's going on in their lives.
Nope.
No, maybe that dad's got so much stuff going on, he just can't open his awareness right this minute to look at his kid. But maybe it doesn't mean that right after class they're going to go out and have a fun day together.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's going to get all the attention he needs, right? So I don't know, but I'm forming a judgment on this dad not watching his kid do karate. It's like, if you're not going to watch him, get the frick out of the room.
And of course, the only person who's feeling that energy is you. He's not feeling that.
Yeah, and the kid might be.
He might be.
Or am I projecting that energy onto the kid?
Well, that's the question.
My judgment, right?
Exactly, yeah. How much is he picking that up?
Yeah. So,
because you're the kid's sensei, so of
course. Who am I to dump that on that kid by judging his dad?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's stuff like that, that when you become more aware of energy, because that's like common stuff. You even realize that's common stuff. So how much are we contributing by being unconscious to the energy behind these thoughts?
And I try not to think about that too much, because it scares the daylights out of me how much I do that.
Yeah, but you know what? So much is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And these kids who are coming in now, they're here to change that as well. Like,
no kidding. You know?
Why do they come in knowing how to use a freaking computer at 2? I mean, you ever see a little kid with a phone knowing exactly what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't even know how to use my phone. I use part of it.
Yep.
So that's fun. All right, let's pick another card.
Yeah, that was a great card. I mean, we got a lot of mileage out of that one.
Yeah. It just took on a life of its own somehow.
It really did, yeah.
All right, so we'll go to the intuitive life coaching.
By the way, Jeffrey said, thank you for the honest conversation about money. That's a good, good point. You're welcome, Jeffrey. And you're right. We need to have more of those conversations about money that are truly honest.
Yeah, and on your, so you know what pops in my head again? Kiyosaki, right? He's got so much money. But guess what? He does a lot with his money to help people.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want him to have even more and more and more and more because it's easy for him to make it. So then it's easy for him to help people. So I want to be just like him.
That's,
right?
That's the fun part, I would think, of being, you know, well off like that, is to be able to use it for stuff like that. That would be where the joy is.
But how much do they get knocked for having wealth?
Tons.
Right?
Tons.
Compared to, like, okay, so maybe there's some names that come across the news that have done horrible things that have lots of money. But you don't know about the thousands compared to that one that do such great stuff with their money, right? Again, it's all judgment.
Cindy Chavez and I did a couple of shows about people who are not well-known millionaires and billionaires, or people who are well-known but we aren't aware of them as being wealthy, and all these wonderful things that they do just for the purpose of dissipating the false stereotype that the wealthy are you know, chintzy with their money, because most people are not. Most wealthy people are actually very generous with their money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but they don't get the press. The only ones who get the press are the ones who are the chintzy ones. What do we got? Generosity, of course. The generosity card has hit.
All right. Give from your heart, no strings attached.
No strings attached. Yep, here we go.
How much more perfect could that be?
Not much. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Thank you, Spirit, right? Because that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
So if everybody could stop, because I think a lot of people, I think people who know about what we're talking about here and all kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for all those people who want to put down wealthy people, they can never have wealth. They can never have it because they can't be the thing they despise.
Right.
We don't want to be something we despise. We have to keep ourselves away from it.
What they will get is a lot more opportunity to despise, though. They'll get lots and lots of opportunity to despise people with wealth. It'll just keep popping up more and more opportunities for them.
And it'll just keep you small and stuck, unless you're very happy being small and stuck. But usually it's a complaint, right? It's a judgment. Yeah.
That's an exact thought that I was dealing with and kind of mulling over. The fact that so often people really do pick for what they want, for what they really desire. They want to be stuck, or they want to be small, or they want to be in pain. There are people who actually do that. It's taken me quite some time to really come to terms with the fact that people really do choose that. Not everybody, but there are some people who just choose that. It's mind-boggling, but they do.
Yeah, but ultimately they choose it because they don't know anything different.
I guess.
It's what they've been conditioned to, or they wouldn't be that way. They're not born that way.
Yeah, it's true. They learn it.
It's conditioning. It's learned.
Yep.
And there's all those beliefs, you know, like the money is evil belief, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how could you have it if it's evil?
Can't really. Well, or even if you did get it, you'd drop it like a hot potato because, it's evil.
And that's why that book is Love Money, Money Loves You.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. I remember seeing a long time ago, I don't remember this person's name, but some coach, I guess she coached on money, and her whole thing was a love affair with money. Mm-hmm. This was like early in my just getting started, and I thought it was kind of silly, stupid, but I'm like, the woman's right on. Think about it as a love affair. Like, you love this stuff.
Yeah.
You're in love with it. Like, you're flowing that kind of energy like you would for a new partner that you just hooked up with, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, let's throw that energy at money.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, generosity. Giving from your heart with no strings attached is what's needed now. Whatever you're working on at this time, do it with the pure intention of giving with no expectations. This card comes to you to tell you not to focus on what you might get out of the situation. Focus more on the joy of being of service and giving with your whole heart for the pure sake of giving and creating. When you do this, you align with something much greater than your expectations. This situation calls for generosity. If you have an agenda, let it go. Let your agenda be that of giving from your heart with no strings attached. This could represent a creative project that you're working on, or it could represent an act of kindness for someone in need. If you choose to focus on service, you'll be able to create something or offer something much greater than you could have before, because now you're open to it, right? So just know that you will not go unrewarded. It may or it may not come for this particular act of kindness, but it will surely be as a result of it. Give with no strings attached, and you will align with divine will. Many blessings are in store for you when you give from the pure joy of giving.
Well, yes. Don't put that away. Keep that page open.
Okay.
The first part of it, I'm having trouble rephrasing what it said, but okay. it was pointing to what happens when you don't do this. Talk about, reread that section where it talks about if you don't do this, it doesn't actually say that, but.
Okay. This card comes to you to tell you not to focus on what you may get out of this situation. Is that what
you
mean?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the one.
Focus more on the joy of being of service. And let me tell you, any one of those really wealthy people, they just want, or any great discovery of some sort that mm-hmm. helps people makes a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you're doing something of service to help other people, you know, like I have a guy I'm working with now that's he's been in combat in Afghanistan, experienced all kinds of stuff. He happens to have a really severe concussion at the moment, mm. and he really is having a hard time functioning. And so I'm not charging him anything. I'm just giving back to him. Mm-hmm. And helping him get through this because nothing's working for him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, listen, you got come to me. Let's just work on this. Mm-hmm. And he had more relief in the very first session with me than ever before. And why? Because I was tracking down earlier events, like early events from when he was a kid that he didn't even realize he was holding on to, but felt mm-hmm. so much relief when we were letting go of the energy connected to it.
Yeah,
he's like, there's no... I don't know how anyone would have ever, like in his experience with going to the doctors he was going to, he's like, they just want to give me drugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. What the other thing that was going on in my mind while you were reading that section about generosity is, maybe this was just me taking the words and putting it into my own words, but that's okay. I'll go with it anyway.
Go with whatever comes in.
I really feel like that it's not just about being generous, it's about being generous and doing what you love.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing it in a way that you love it, it's no longer a burden, first of all. And even more importantly, you want to keep doing it over and over again.
Well, that's
it feels
different.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be, they said if you're generous, then money will come to you. So I better be generous. So I'm going to be generous and do this. But you don't really feel it from your heart.
Mm.
It's your head saying, or that ego mind saying, I'll be one of those generous people. And then I'll right? No, when it
not
comes
not quite the heart, same thing.
That's the whole thing. Because, you know, it's all about love. Everything comes down to love.
But when you're doing it either in a way or devoted to a purpose that is something that you enjoy and that you love and that feels good to you, well, first of all, you don't have to work at making it that because it already is.
Right, because it's not a job.
It's not a job.
It's a J-O-B job.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a joy.
It's a joy. It is. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So cool stuff. I like that.
Cool stuff. Fun how that card came up, huh? So I wonder what animal wants to come up and speak to us.
Oh, you got an animal deck going there. Okay.
Spirit animal.
What is it? Spirit animal. Oh, yeah. A picture of the buck on the front. Okay.
This is Colette Baron-Reed. I haven't used this deck in a while.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see what that brings up. By the way, while you're shuffling those cards, I'm also going to remind people that one of the reasons that we do all this is we do it because we love it. But another reason is we want you to be joining along for the journey. And that only happens when you're a subscriber. Fortunately, Linda, our numbers of subscribers are increasing. I don't know if I've told you this. We are now averaging well over 400 subscribers listening per episode, or a number of listens per episode, I should say. In fact, yesterday, I was blown away. It may have something to do with the fact that last week we lost 3 shows, and so I think people were just kind of reconnecting. But we had over 1,000 show downloads yesterday.
Wow.
Which is mind-blowing. Yeah. But that's the only way you can keep up is just by continuing to subscribe and get the shows. So if you're not subscribed, you're missing out. And that's what the whole point is that I'm making here. Become a subscriber if you're not a subscriber. Join all the other hundreds who have become subscribers, because they're finding that it gives them that lift. Just by we talk about things like this on Fridays. Linda brings out her cards, and they always bring in exactly what it is that we're talking about, or they address what we're talking about in some amazing way. And it's always an uplifting experience to just go through the discussion of what the cards are telling us. But every show is different every single day. You get a different daily dose of happy with every single show. So become a subscriber. Go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. Right at the top, you will get instructions on how to subscribe. I have been reliably informed by people who have tried it very, very recently that it's so easy. They were able to do it in seconds. So good to know that what I set up is still working properly. But it really is that simple. It's just two or three clicks and you're done. And also feel free to check us out on YouTube, because as we create and record these podcasts, we live stream while we're recording to YouTube, which is why Jeffrey and others are able to listen to the live stream. And you can find us there just by doing a search for LOA Today podcast videos, and then click the subscribe button and the little bell so you get notified every time that we're on. But either way you do it, make sure you subscribe and keep following us, because you want to be joining this journey. A lot of people are getting benefit, and we want you to continue to get the benefit too. So what do you got? What card came up there, Linda?
First, I'll just say to that is that we're you know, the cards are just picking up on what's on in the collective. So we're just talking about whatever the energies are that are out there at the moment. And so that's what we're talking about. But I got Nightingale Spirit upside down.
Nightingale
Spirit. And okay. That says love is all around.
But in the inverted.
Reverse.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's see why that we got that in the reverse.
I'm sure there's a good reason for it.
It says, the darker the skies, the more it seems the dawn will never appear. But Nightingale Spirit is here to remind you that the sun will shine again. You'll soon feel the love and notice the abundance that surrounds you. Sing now, put on some music, or simply sing in the empty space. For finding the light within and giving it a voice will give rise to hope and help you begin to hear the call of another who, like you, was beginning to fear the light would never come. Bring the light into the darkness with love from within. Give it a voice and know that daybreak will be here soon. So that's great, because a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff right now because there's so much rapid change and energies all around. You know, that's a message that's been around for quite a while. And like I did my energy update this month, and my energy update really had nothing to do with that. It was all about tapping into fun, like putting yourself in night school. That's actually the card came up with, like, astral traveling while you're sleeping.
Ah.
And so, you know, I talk about putting myself in night school.
Right.
It's kind of like that, letting yourself go, absorb all that wants to come in, like letting yourself take all of that, being receptive and finding joy and fun wherever you can, because you know what, that will put you into that higher vibration where everything does come together. And you know, I was listening to some other people's energy updates, and there was still so much of that purging in that we're going through these tough times. Like, there's one girl I usually like to listen to, I couldn't even listen to her because it just seemed like so much complaining about the shifting and the changing that we're going through. Which is fine. You know, people are talking about because it's actually happening. But I'm like, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the fun. I'm glad my cards came up in a different way.
Yeah, right.
Because I feel like, too, if so much of that messaging is going out, it gives people the excuse to be like, oh, I'm just going through this right now. I'm just going to be miserable because it'll pass eventually. And like not lifting themselves up and out of it because, well, everybody's going through it, so it's okay. It is okay. Be with it. But you don't have to stay there. You
can do things.
That's why, like Jeffrey pointed out in the very beginning, gratitude will take you out of that. You know, grounding yourself, feeling yourself out in nature. Like, look, I'm looking. I see the moon out there. It's not even dark yet, but it's so bright and vibrant. It's beautiful.
Appreciating just the simplest things like that makes a huge, huge difference, because the more that we do that, the more we literally at that moment shift our energy. And we don't even necessarily know we're shifting it, but it happens and we feel it afterward.
Yeah, so it's like I could ride this wave of this purging and this changing of the planet in misery, yeah. Or I could ride it, allowing it to happen, but finding ways to be happy now. That's the hugest message I feel like I'm getting through all of this shifting and changing is happiness now. I mean, T. Harv Eker, you know T. Harv Eker? He's always talking. No? What's his book? I can't think about it right now. Something Millionaire, something or other. He's always talking about happiness now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Happiness now.
Yeah.
Not later. I'll be happy when. You're never going to get there. And with him, it's all about, you know, creating money and by doing what you love, giving service to other people. I mean, all these really wealthy people, that's what they talk about, is helping people.
You were talking and have talked quite extensively during this episode about the importance of embracing things like, you know, isn't that interesting? I have that attitude too, and embracing it and then letting it go, which is an excellent approach, an excellent way to kind of acknowledge these little negative things we carry around and so we can let go of them. While you were talking just now, I was also reminded of one of my other favorite ways to let go of stuff. And that is to find a way to laugh at it. If there's something going on that I don't like, I can't always do this, but sometimes I can find a way to laugh at it, make a joke out of it, you know, diminish it in some way because I know it's really not anything to take seriously. And if on those occasions where I can get myself to laugh at it, it's amazing how easily I'm able to get rid of even the heaviest one that wants to stick around forever. It just kind of goes away so much easier just because I'm laughing at it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And that phrase, just so, you know, it's like, interesting point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I have that point of view.
Yeah.
Interesting point of view.
Interesting point of view. I have that point of view.
let me see. It's okay. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
He's pretty cool. He's very much a motivational speaker, and he talks about, you know, money and how to make money and the energy of money. A lot of his stuff is because a lot of spiritual people look down on money, think money is bad. So he's like, you can be spiritual and you can make lots of money and you can help lots of people. And it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a good thing. It's interesting, too, because when we started this episode, I really had no idea. I don't think you had any idea what the topic was going to be. It has turned completely into money, which means... And again, what you've taught us, what that means is there are listeners who need to hear this. There are people who are involved in listening to our conversation who need to hear this. I'm thinking, how cool is that? Because I know that money, that negative money vibration, I know it really well. I spent a lot of time there. It's a very miserable place to be. And yeah, there are times where you just kind of need to be taken out of it. So I'm thinking how cool it is. We're actually helping people climb out of it just by talking about it this way.
Yeah. Yeah, and you learn that. I mean, I remember, like, I look back, I'm like, oh, my God, I actually said that.
No.
And I learned, I said it to my mom, and I learned it from her, I'm sure, because we had this one extended family that was really wealthy but really miserable.
Mm.
So the excuse for having struggles with money when I was a kid would be like, yeah, but look at that family. They have lots of money, but they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They have all this problem. This one's an alcoholic. That one's this. This one's that. You know, like, we're better off poor. We're happy. Poor, right? We weren't poor, but we weren't like rich like they are.
Right.
So I remember even saying that because my mom's complaining about something, and it would bug me if she was complaining about it. So here I am spewing to her. I don't know. I was a teenager. Yeah, but look, they have all the money, and they're so unhappy. You don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I learn that from?
Gee, I wonder.
You know? So.
Yeah, well, like you say, we pick them up and we're programmed to spit them back out, and that's what we do. The good part is when we catch it, when we recognize it, we say, oh, I just did it again. And interesting point of view, I have that point of view. Interesting viewpoint.
Yeah. Well, another one just popped in my head, too. What was it? Oh, I lost it. It would have been a good one. But yeah, so like these are things I remember clearing on this stuff. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I've said that. Oh my God, yeah, I've done that. Oh, I've seen that. You know? Yeah. Rich people are unhappy. Look, oh, the, I know what it was. Here's another one. the more money you have, the more problems you have.
Oh, geez, yes. I've heard that one many times.
Right? Many times.
Yeah. It's
maybe you have more problems than that one over there, but what about all that good stuff you have? We can't look at the good stuff?
We're really good at looking at the bad stuff, that we don't like. We're so skilled at that.
So it's just a mindset, and it's just being conscious, conscious of it. It's like, oh wow. So when you catch yourself when it comes in, and you're thinking, interesting point of view. I guess I have that point of view.
Yes.
Or it wouldn't have popped up right now in my reality, in my face. Yeah.
That's a powerful approach. I like that. Interesting point of view. I have that point of view.
Yeah. So that's an access consciousness thing. I'm curious about it. I think I'm going to be learning a lot more about it.
Well, you certainly have brought a new perspective for me. I hadn't heard that phrase before, but I'm thinking that's a good one to incorporate into my vocabulary, so to speak.
Interesting point of view.
My collection of phrases. Yeah. That alongside with, of course, like Jeffrey posted, isn't it wonderful? Something marvelous is happening to me now.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that.
That's a good
one. I did my recording. I said it. Maybe I told you this last time. I don't know. Or that I was going to do it. I recorded my voice. I probably said it like 10 times. And then I looped it to where I have 108 times because I'm doing my mala beads, you know?
Right.
And you put things out in that 108. I mean, because I proved this many times with using my mala beads for something, and then it came true.
Mm.
Right? It's something we had a miracle happen by the whole family. I think I probably shared that with you before, doing a mantra that I made up because I'm like, how can I help this person? This person had this really severe thing going on in their life.
Right.
And I made up this mantra. Everybody said the mantra for a year. That person said it. And we were in different parts of the world, but at the same time, every day, we would do it. Yeah. I made a recording, so either they listened to the recording and did it along with the recording, or just did it on their own. And sometimes we would all meet on the phone at the same time and all say it together, right? Mm-hmm. We were doing this. And this thing resolved itself in about a year. It's like a miracle. There's no way that this should have happened, and it did. And it happened. I can't say what it is because it's not my story to share.
Right, yeah. But it's one, you can tell it's one of those really, really low vibration things, really heavy, seeming like it can't possibly change. It's going to be there until you die, and that's it.
There was legal stuff involved, and like there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way it should have happened in the first place, and there's no way that it should have been able to be resolved the way it was, and it totally did. Was.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. The only thing that's more fun than that is recognizing that it happened. That's a big deal that I have spent time lately focusing on. It's so easy when things work out right to skip past them, and we can't. That's the appreciation factor, right? It's noticing that wow, this really cool thing really did happen, and I gotta focus on and get excited about, wow, this cool thing really did happen. My God, this thing really did happen. It happened to me.
I did a video on that, something about miracle mala beads. I don't know, but if you search Google miracle mala beads, it'll probably show up. Or mala miracle. I don't know. I forget what it was.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and Jeffrey wants to add a line. He says, I'm in a good money place right now. So we have been milking this vibration, and I have no doubt that we are shifting into more and easy abundance. And that's absolutely true. That's exactly what happens.
Yay!
Milk it. Yeah.
So you know what I say? Jeffrey, little pat on your own shoulder. Come on.
That's right.
We never pat ourselves on the shoulder, right? We always don't give ourselves any praise. You give it plenty to everybody else. Good for you.
Yeah. I was experiencing the same thing with that bequest that I got from my mom. I just kept playing it over and over, like, oh wow, I got this great bequest, how cool. And it showed up in my account, and there it is in my account. I kept doing that over and over again.
Yeah.
And it just kept building up the energy of it.
And that vibration is so present for you. You want to keep milking that. So you hold that, right? And grow it.
In fact, as I'm sitting here, I realized, well, something happened today that I was glazing over here that I really should be noticing. I should be paying attention to. I think I told you there was the bequest, and then it led to more money coming through later on. Well, that more money coming through later on today led to more money coming through again after that.
All
right. It's like three layers of it right now. It just keeps building out. Yeah. Yeah. And each time it's like, wow, where did that come from? How did that happen?
Very
fun
nice.
Stuff. Yeah.
Very, okay. Walt, come on. Pat yourself on the shoulder.
I'm patting on this one. I'm patting on this one. Absolutely. Got to celebrate these things.
That's you also stuff. Got another episode. I didn't get a chance to listen yet, but I think episode 2 is up, right?
Grass is Greener. Episode 2 is out. And you're right. I got to make it a point to let people know how to subscribe to that. It's very similar to subscribing to LOAtoday.net. You simply go to thegrassisgreener.loatoday.net, and that's where you'll be able to subscribe. It's the same process for subscribing to this podcast. And right, you're right. There's the second episode. So 2 episodes are up there. So far, people are liking it, but I'll be curious to know what your response is when you hear it. So feel free to share. And anybody who wants to write in and tell us what you think about the second episode, we'd love to hear it. I know Cindy Chavez has already told me she loves it, but anybody else, please give us the feedback, because it really helps Alex and me when we're writing and creating it and then passing that information along to PJ so she can direct it, and to our actors, of course. Our cast is just a fabulous cast. But yeah, it's out, and it's exciting.
All right, cool.
Yeah. In fact, just kind of a little side note, we've here on this Friday show, that's right, there's 2 things I got to tell you. We've had numerous instances, you and I, where our energy has gotten so big that it actually has overwhelmed the electronics, right? So we've had outages, we've had crazy stuff with microphones and all kinds of things like that. I promised that to Louie, who does the Monday show with me, I promised that I would tell you that we had the same thing happen on Monday. So it's not just Fridays. Now we're also having other days.
See how fun that is? I mean, it could be annoying at the time a little bit, but it's fun because when you realize what it is, you know.
Well, that ties into the second thing I was going to say, because the second thing is the second episode of The Grass is Greener. I kind of took the energy that comes from that topic of trying to, first of all, iron out the energy so that the technology worked well, but also recognizing what's going on, and noticed stuff that was going on with the first episode that I wanted to be better. So I used it as an impetus to actually make the sound better on episode 2. So people are going to hear when they listen to episode 2, I'm taking more advantage of stereo effects. So you actually have a room full of people instead of all standing in the middle of the stage, you know. You have more depth to the whole thing. And I think they'll also find you don't have to go listen for this, but if you happen to notice this, you'll notice that the voices are less distorted. They're clearer voices. The sound effects are clear. Everything's a more clear thing now. So that was actually kind of a fallout from recognizing what energetic impact we have on technology. And I said, I got to pay attention to this technology and say, okay, I'm going to put not just the good energy out, but what can I do to improve it? How can I make it better?
Right.
And that's what I got led to. I end up re-editing the entire second episode because of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it came out much better.
Very good.
Good stuff. So thank you for sharing the cards, as usual. You pulled up, boy, this week. I mean, I've mentioned before how good the cards are that you pull up. You're always really good at it. But this time, I mean, you were spot on, girl. I mean, just absolutely spot on.
It's not me. It's the energies that want to come through.
I will remind you to take some credit for it. You deserve a pat on the back. You're the one drawing the cards.
I flipped them. You could have flipped them.
That's true.
But, let's do that after Louise gets her gift.
Well, it's going to be a while because I got that as a Christmas gift.
But. All right. So in January, you're going to shuffle up some cards and pick up and see what happens. All right.
I
guarantee you the perfect cards will come out.
Cool. I love it. Sounds good. All right. So thank you very much for sharing all that. Thank you, Jeffrey, for being our live streamer today. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners who are increasing in number. We thank you so much as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.